Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. And we've got Larry on his phone down there if it hasn't froze up. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Stuart. Now the phone's it's still working. I think everything else has been froze for quite some time.
Did you get your water back at all?
Got my water back a little earlier, so at least it's running again.
Good. There's a fair amount to talk about tonight, I guess. All kinds of things are going on, and the madness of Babylon is on display for the entire world to see. And anyway, why don't we start with your dream vision, Larry, and elaborate on that as much as you want.
Okay, this was two dreams I had the other night, and they were absolutely phenomenal dreams. It didn't seem like a dream. It seemed like I was there, and it was happening as present time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not asking anybody to believe this, I'm not even going to say it was from the Lord. I'm just going to say these are a dream experience I had that I've never had before the likes of. I'll put it that way. The reality was so much sharper and more focused than I really ever remember. Very, very interesting, and I'll try to give this out as two dreams. And I had the first one, and it was about 5 in the morning, and the road grader woke me up coming by and scraping off the road at mm-hmm. about 5, and it woke me from the first one. And then I tried to go back to sleep, but the Lord dealt with me to make my notes. And I made my notes and prayed that if there was more of this that I needed to see for him to show me. And so then I went back to sleep, and I had the second dream and woke from it about 7 in the morning. And it also was just incredibly, incredibly, I guess you could say, graphic and present time, it seemed. But I'm not asking people to believe this. I'm just saying I had two dreams, the likes of such I don't ever remember. Now, the subject matter is going to be really controversial, if you will. And so I ask everybody to hold off on saying that I've lost my mind until I get through, but I'll try to give it without interpreting anything, except there are perceptions that I got during the dreams that I'll give you the perception. I won't interpret what they mean particularly, but I'll give you the perceptions, and they're very, very interesting. Now, the first dream starts out, a word came to mind as this first dream began to open up, and it was danger close. Now, if you don't know, Danger Close was a book written by General Jerry Boykin a number of years ago, and it involved, involved a nuclear weapon, actually. And it was a very incredible terrorism and nuclear-type dream, book. And, mm-hmm. and so when Danger Close crossed my mind, Jerry Boykin also crossed my mind, but that was just the beginning. And then suddenly, this is what I began to see. There was a new president. Now, let me slip this in here. During the time of this dream, something has occurred. I don't know what it was. I don't know when. I don't know what. But something major, some type of event had occurred in America. And for some reason, at the beginning of the dream or during the rest of the dream and the second dream, you never heard the word of Biden-Harris or their administration or the communist coup that brought all this on. It was never mentioned again. But there was great trouble in the country, and there was a new president, or should I say a new leader that was running the country, and he was on the run and in convoys. He wouldn't, you know, matter of fact, oddly enough, not only was there the Biden administration not mentioned, whatever had happened, Washington, D.C., as the capital of this nation and meaning anything at all, was never mentioned. Not one word, not one thought, not one consideration. To me, that's really powerful. Something mm-hmm. happened. And so, anyway, as the dream opened up and began, I got the word danger close, and I was in a convoy. I was, as a matter of fact, not only in the convoy, I was in the lead vehicle of the convoy. And oddly enough, here again, none of these vehicles with this president were presidential vehicles. None of them were black SUVs. None of them were SUVs. These were Jeeps, and these were Humvees and other armor vehicles. This was a military convoy. And the president was in the third vehicle in a military Humvee behind the two lead Jeeps, and I was the passenger, the right-hand passenger, in the lead vehicle. And I looked over to see who the driver of the vehicle was, because he literally was leading this procession or this convoy. And, well, it sure looked like General Michael Flynn to me. I mean, when I looked over there, I saw the image of Michael Flynn driving that vehicle. And I can't say that's who it was, but that's who I saw. And so, anyway, I was asking him, I said, what am I doing here? What in the world would I have to be here for? You know, I'm a big nobody in the middle of nowhere in a place nobody even remembers hardly anymore. And I said, what am I doing here? And he said, you're here because you pray. He says, we need prayer. And if you know Michael Flynn, he's an incredible prayer warrior, and trust God. Mm-hmm. And anyway, he said, we need prayer. He said, you're an instrument of prayer. And he said, we need you right now. And so I considered that for a moment. We're going down the road, this long convoy behind us, the president being in the back seat of one of the Humvees. Most of the military were dressed in combat gear. They were dressed. There was no uniforms particularly. There was no insignias. There was no ranks, you know, that you could see. They were literally dressed to go into combat, it appeared. And they were fully armed. And we're going down the road. There was no traffic, no civilian traffic of any kind. It was daylight at the time. I could see the hills, rolling hills, and I could see the trees. They were bushed out. We did not have coats or jackets on, which is really odd because everything's frozen here now. But it seemed like, if I had to guess, I would say that it appeared to be probably late spring or early summer, I think. That seemed to be the you know, what was on the trees and the, you know, the hills and all, the grass. And the temperature seemed moderate, like it would be in that time frame. So we're going down the road, and I said, stop the vehicle. Now, can you imagine a military convoy stopping because Larry Taylor's told them to stop? But Michael Flynn stopped the convoy. I got out of the vehicle, and I walked all the way back to the president's Humvee, the one he was in, and I leaned into the front windshield, that's close as I could get to him, and when I looked back into the back seat and began to talk to him, the president, I couldn't see him really clearly, but it looked like Donald Trump. And I know that's controversial, but I'll just have to tell the dream like it is. It appeared to be Donald Trump sitting in the back of that Humvee. And I asked him, I said, what am I doing here? Why do you need me at all? And he said, we need your prayers. He says, I know one thing. He says, if you're up there in that lead vehicle and you're praying and we're following you, we're going to be okay. And I said, well, okay, if that's a fact. I said, however, I said, I do not know where we're going. I have no idea what your plans are. I said, all I can do is pray and ask God to watch over us, keep us safe, protect us. And he said, that's your job. And I said, okay. I said, what about where we're going? He said, don't you even worry about it. He said, your driver will handle all of that. He knows exactly what to do and where to go. And so I said, yes, sir. And I went back, I walked back, got back in the passenger seat of the lead Jeep. And anyway, General Flynn said, satisfied? I said, yep. And he took off again, and the convoy went, and this is a little drawn out, but it's very explicit, and I think there's a lot of points here that I want to share. So we got to a bunker. It was an underground bunker. It wasn't a popular one. It was one of those that were hidden away underground. It was hidden in a hilly area. I don't know what state we were in particularly, but it was rolling hills. We got down in a low area where that bunker was. The president went below. The military all fanned out and took up the perimeters, and me and Michael Flynn walked out way far out on the far perimeter. And we were standing out there, and he says, danger's close. He said, they're looking for us. He said, they're hunting for us right now. And the only thing, I really didn't feel a particular worry or concern about the communist insurgency in America. The first thing that crossed my mind in that dream was Chinese troops were hunting for this president that was leading this nation in this time of unprecedented crisis. And so anyway, I said, well, we'll pray. And so we prayed. And then General Michael Flynn walked out a little further on the perimeter, and he was like he was looking off in the distance. I went over and got a rifle. Oddly enough, it was an old .223 that I used to have years ago, and I ejected a shell into it. And he walked over to me, General Flynn did, and he said, you better be careful. He said, if that thing accidentally goes off way out here on the perimeter, he said, all these guys are jumpy. He said, they'll open fire on you. And I said, well, let me tell you something, General. I said, if my gun goes off, you're going to have a whole lot bigger worries than me, because I'll be shooting at something. And so anyway, it was kind of a humorous moment for a second. And then suddenly General Flynn said, they're close. They're really, really close on us. We've got to pray. You've got to pray now. Said, we've got to protect the president. And so anyway, we had a really odd situation right there that hit me pretty strong emotionally, actually. And when I told it on Augusto's show, it was tough. But it was absolutely so real that I just absolutely, it was blown away by it. But Michael Flynn put his arm across my shoulder, and I raised my hands in the air, and we both began to pray hard, and I began to call on heaven. And let me tell you something. In the middle of that prayer, believe it or not, the name Elijah crossed my mind, and then the ground began to shake. And I don't mean shake a little. I was having, me and General Flynn was having trouble keeping standing, because let me tell you, while we were praying, the ground was shaking like I have never seen. And we knew that it was heaven answering. Now, suddenly the road grader drove by, woke me up from that dream. I woke wide awake. I tried to go back to sleep immediately. I thought, my God, I won't forget that. But then the Holy Spirit began to deal with me to make notes. So I grabbed an old book I'd been reading, and I used it in the back. There's a few pages, and I began to make notes. I got that done. I started to go to sleep, and I thought, well, Lord, if there's any more dream or anything else you want to show me, you know, have your way. And so I went back to sleep. Well, a little bit later then, I don't know. Let me point out this really clear. I don't know if we went back into exactly the first dream, or if there was a short time span between that dream and what transpired next, because what transpired next was really pretty incredible. The second dream opened up with what I call the arrival from the skies. I mean, it's a thing that you and I and others have been talking about for a long, long time now. But what was happening was we was at the same bunker. It appeared to be the same. It was the military had really braced it up good. They were well armed. We didn't have big weapons, but we were armed. And the military was in combat gear and ready to fight. And we had had a couple of days there, it seemed, or this is my perception in the dream, that there had been extreme overcast. And the enemy couldn't pick us out or find us at this point in time. Like I say, I don't know if a little span of time went by, but it was the same president that appeared to be Trump in that bunker, and he was issuing orders to the country. And suddenly, though, a weatherman came out, and you know, an Air Force weatherman, and he told me, he said, something's changed. Said, we don't know what's happening, but there's an anomaly happening over us up in the sky in that overcast. And so I went over and began to watch real close, and I told everybody, I said, you better be on guard, you better be ready. He said, it's possible they're about to attack. And so anyway, oddly enough, I watched the anomaly, and it was like a small hole formed right over us in that real thick cloud bank, and it began to open up like the eye of a hurricane, you would see, you know, a big eye.
Mm-hmm.
And it got
mm-hmm.
bigger and bigger, and as it got bigger, I began to scream at all the troops around us and the commanders. I told them, I said, get ready, they're coming. I said, they're about to attack. Now, let me qualify right here. When I say attack, what I'm about to see and what I'm about to tell people is, if you ever saw the movie Independence Day and you saw a bunch of small craft coming in, alien craft, that attacked that base, and I'm sure most mm-hmm. everybody remembers that in Independence Day, that's what I began to see, was these small alien-looking crafts zooming down through that hole in that cloud that they had made, and they were coming to attack. And so I issued the order for everybody to open fire, and the battle began. And we were having a heck of a battle, no joke about that. I mean, it was a heck of a battle. And at the same time, about this time, I saw the it was like a double vision. I saw them in the skies above us in the small craft, and they were, you know, we were battling them, and they were zooming down and trying to battle us.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I saw an event that was occurring outside of our vision up in the upper atmosphere by the, the top of space. And they had not brought mother craft with them, it appeared, but they had brought portions of massive craft, and they were putting them together. In other words, they were literally assembling, or this is what it looked like to me, that I was seeing them literally assemble massive anti-gravity craft high up in the atmosphere to use for platforms to invade. And
mm-hmm.
When I saw that, and I knew that's what they were doing, and the attack was on us to keep us from interfering, I ran to what appeared to be the chief of staff. Now, let me preface this also. In the dream, Trump didn't have a whole lot of civilian support out there. He had two or three guys that appeared to be civilians wearing khaki uniforms, like clothes, but that's
mm-hmm.
all he had. He didn't have a staff like a president would have a staff. This event had changed everything. But Trump, it appeared to be Trump, was running the entire country. And I grabbed his chief of staff, and I said, we need missiles. We need missiles now. And I said, I want nuclear weapons. And he stuttered for a minute, and he said, I can't do that. He said, we got protocols. We can't use nuclear weapons on our own land, and we sure can't use them above the planet or above our own continent. And I grabbed him by the front of his shirt, and I pulled him close to my face, and I told him, I said, I'm in charge in this, and I said, I am declaring now that you will bring forth missiles and nuclear weapons, and I said, we're going to hit those anti-gravity craft they're assembling while they're vulnerable high up in the atmosphere, and we're going to hit back. And I said, they're here to take us out. They're going to take all of us out. I said, then we're going down with one heck of a fight. And about that time, suddenly that dream ended. Believe it or not, I wish I had more of the story, but I'll tell you what, Stuart, this is the most incredible, lifelike visual I have ever experienced. Other than, I'll put it this way, Stuart, it was just as visual and lifelike as you remember my excursions on Mars and how they were.
Yes, yes. Huh. Do you have any idea in the timeline at all?
I really don't. The odd thing is, you know, with what's going on in America, it don't appear we got a lot of time left. Biden and them are moving just as swift as they can do it to destroy this nation, and they're going to do it now if they can do it. But
yes.
The time frame that I saw that this happened in appeared to be either late spring or early summer, and some type of event had interrupted everything that was planned, apparently, and somehow Trump, if possible, and Flynn came out in charge of this nation and all its forces, and I guess the resistance, and he was coordinated it, and not from Washington, D.C., or any other so-called capital or temporary capital, mm-hmm. and he certainly wasn't in Florida at Mar-a-Lago. He was hiding in bunkers and moving about by convoys. So it appeared, you know, with no traffic on the roads, it appeared everybody was locked down. Total martial law and a war of some kind was on.
Wow. So some major event obviously had occurred for Biden, Harris, and whatnot not to even be mentioned, which brings up Barry Rothman's latest, because that's kind of what he indicates. Let me see if I can scroll down and find it. Got so much junk here, folks, you have to scroll for 50 hours just to find an article.
yeah, Barry
okay,
Rothman's
been
doing some good stuff lately. Mm-hmm.
It's 7 Shabbat, King, Biden. So they're really not even calling him president anymore. This is interesting because of the King of Babylon. And in the last time that America exists. So you got King Babylon, you got Kamala. They took their oath. But then it says Harris / destruction. Joseph is the last one. So what do you make of that? I'm beginning to wonder, you know, if you put it against your what you saw, if something really has happened, something really big has occurred, and Harris maybe and Biden have been destroyed. I don't know.
Well, it's entirely possible. That's an interesting Torah code because the fact that that, you know, oddly enough, is the fact that, you know, Joseph, you know, that name popped up at the bottom. Of course, that's Biden's first name.
Yes, yes.
And oddly enough, Harris's name, according to what I read in Barry Rothman's data, Harris, the name Harris in Hebrew, or the rendition of it, is equal to the word destruction. So her name literally means destruction, if that makes any sense. Now,
that would be.
What's interesting, you know, Biden, we're watching him set in rule from Washington, somewhere in Washington. We don't know if they've got a new basement or, you know, or
a
studio or there. Nobody knows really what he's doing or where he's at, but he's not operating like a president. He's operating like a king. Now, let me insert
yes,
this real quick, and I'd appreciate your input into this. I sent you a Monkey Work situation update for today a little earlier.
Yeah,
and
I saw
you probably
that.
Hadn't had time to huh?
Yeah, I saw that.
Isn't it interesting that Air Force One is being used, but it's not being designated as Air Force One? It's almost like they're trying to hide, they're either trying to hide who's on it or where it's going. They're using a clandestine Air Force One without the designators. And
yeah, they're probably afraid
hugely
he'll get shot down.
Well,
you know, somebody
well,
used a missile on him.
Well, from a guy that lives inside his own private, I guess you could say, Baghdad headquarters, if you will,
yes.
Green Zone. You know, they got their own green zone there. It's an occupied territory. It's not even America, really. I don't know, Stuart. I think that somehow something's going to happen. Something almost has to happen.
Yeah. Well, the timing is very interesting to me that you would have this dream vision when you had it because of this approaching 4-4-4-11. And somebody sent me, maybe it was you who sent me, a guy gave a speech Let me see if I can scroll down here and find it. And it ties in with Rush Limbaugh, by the way. So, and his death, and the vision of the Antichrist with his right eye being darkened and his right arm being all withered up. And there are those, you know, I don't know if you remember, but there was an MI5, I believe, or MI6 agent that was guarding Kennedy on the Isle of Scorpios. Now, everybody thought Kennedy was dead, but you may remember Truman Capote, who wrote all those kind of murder stories and whatnot. Big Arthur back in those days. Very good friends of Jacqueline. And what was interesting was that Capote came out publicly and said that John Kennedy had lived. And that was silenced fairly quickly. But he insisted that he had survived and lived. And then you may remember that Cardinal Cushing of Boston, you may remember that Jacqueline Kennedy visited Bethesda Naval Hospital for about a year, year and a half. Practically every day she would go there, and she would, there was a whole, I guess you could call it a floor that was blocked out. There's a whole lot of stories. I did a video documentary called Lucifer's Song, in which I outlined all of the things that had happened to Kennedy. And when Jacqueline married Onassis, who owned the Isle of Scorpios, there was a lot of criticism about her. And what he said, Cardinal Cushing, if I remember correctly, it was a long time ago now, he said that if you understood what was really happening and what the truth was, that you would have no problem whatever with her marrying Onassis. Now, I suppose you can take that any way you want, but there were pictures taken of a person in a wheelchair whose right arm really was virtually withered up. If I remember right, they were leaked, and some of those pictures made their way into the headquarters, into the mainstream media, which published them. And when you put all that stuff together, and Secret Service agents, and I being a jet pilot for years, when they took off out of Dallas right after the assassination, and they flew to Washington, theoretically, it took them way too long to fly to Washington. They stopped somewhere. They did something. I don't know exactly what they did or how this worked, but there was a helicopter. I don't know if you remember it. I got the video of it. There was a helicopter that came in and landed at the tail of Air Force One. And they offloaded someone off that and disappeared. Probably went to Naval Hospital there, Bethesda. All kinds of weird things were involved in that. And folks, if you really want to get into the strange, I think I've got Lucifer's Song up on Angel Fall 923. You talk about weird stuff, but it's very fascinating as to what is really going on behind the scenes. And this destruction of probably of Washington, you may remember a fellow by the name of Jonathan Kleck, very interesting character, on YouTube. And he was the one who demonstrated, he's an artist, and the Lord has really given him a gift to spot stuff. But anyway, he was the one who interpreted the pictures found on various denominations of our money. And one of them was Oklahoma City. And after the Oklahoma City explosion there, the building, the picture on the dollar bill, $5 bill, whatever it was, is there. You just have to learn how to fold those over. And they have secretly encoded stuff on those, on the money. And the Oklahoma City building is exactly on that bill is exactly what it looked like. Now, I don't know if they can go forward in time and see what the results are, and then they come back and sketch it. I'm not sure. But anyway, there's all kinds of weird stuff going on. And it would not surprise me at all, because Jonathan Kleck has one of these money denominations is Washington, D.C., being hit by a tsunami. It's not a nuke. It's a tsunami. It wipes it out. And there's another one of a tsunami hitting New York, which is interesting because of all the stuff, impact events that are found in the Book of Revelation. And, you know, meteorites, and speaking about that, we've been having all kinds of these things. Fireball reports are way off the charts now. Anyway, I don't know. What's your take on it, Larry? Sounds to me like Washington is no longer in existence. And maybe
well,
the country's in total disarray. The timing that is interesting is the arrival.
Yeah. What's interesting about, you know, the dream was that Washington, even New York, appeared to be irrelevant. There wasn't even any concern. It was like they simply didn't even matter anymore. Now, what would cause that, I don't know, but something had happened that changed almost everything and had caused this. But oddly enough, you know, there's a recent Israel 365, you know, you mentioned incoming and stuff. Israel 365 News just posted the other day, you know, Rabbi Lovelov claimed that Nibiru begins to be seen in its effects on the earth in the month of Adar, and Adar began February the 12th, and he uses Numbers 24:17, a star rises from Yaakov, a scepter comes forth from Yisrael, it smashes the brow of Moab, the foundation of all children of Shet, and that's the scripture. But it could be, you know, we're seeing some really, really strange stuff. Volcanoes erupting, earthquakes happening. The earth change activity seems to have zoomed up. The cosmos is acting strange. The magnetic fields, I mean, everything is getting a little bit out of balance.
Well, it kind of reminds you, and what you were had that dream vision is almost like Jericho, where the government is kind of, how do I say, been decimated, and they're just trying to hang on as best they can to their military forces and whatnot. So I don't know how you would interpret that, but there's something really strange going on with this number 411. And today, I don't know who sent it to me, but it says National Sins, National Judgments, a sermon by a John Owen, who preached it, guess what the date is, April 11th, 411, way back in 1679. And what he preached about was the takedown of, basically the takedown of the United States. He really was preaching on Deuteronomy chapter 28, where America has basically now turned its back upon God and wants nothing to do with him. And, of course, Biden and Harris, they're all communists anyway. So, boy, that's fascinating. How did you take that when you had it, woke up? I mean, what did you think?
I thought it was occurring in the future, and I was there. You know, I mean, totally right there. Now, this is not related to the dream. This is some intel that seems to be coming in from the background, from different sources. But there appears to be in the background a few little warnings about people having their families ready to for something to occur this March, either late March and April. So that goes along with your warning. Now, that's not related to my dream because I didn't, you know, I wasn't given a date or a day or anything. But there is some warnings in the background indicating that something may occur in late March or April that's going to affect a lot of people.
Yeah. This 44411, I did a blog on it. It's there's more to this than meets the eye. And I think the Lord is definitely warning us about some impact event, whether I mean by impact an asteroid or maybe a global reset. I do believe that Charles Schwab and all those guys who run that outfit that nobody elected, nobody appointed, but they're running the world anyway through Bill Gates and whatnot, I think that comes to a close. I think the Lord says, I've had about enough of that. And I've always thought, Larry, that the new world order really occurs with the arrival. And it's a hybrid government. And who knows? Maybe in this particular one, there's a truce. You didn't get any further in it. But maybe there was a truth made, and it becomes a hybrid government. Because that's what Stan kind of found out when he reworded or did some research on the actual wording. And it's really amazing when you go back and you actually study the root words as to the actual meanings. And although the King James probably comes the closest of all, and I'll give you a good example. King James Version always uses the word love. Well, love has about 34 different meanings. And if you didn't have a Strong's concordance, you wouldn't understand what was being said or what kind of love it is, that sort of thing. That's why you got to do word studies. And it's just fascinating stuff. Hal Turner. Let me see if I got this one right. Oh, mysterious monolith. What do you think about this, Larry? Appears in DR Congo, destroyed by locals amid fears of aliens and the Illuminati. They burned it, I guess. Melted it down. What do you think is going on? My take is that, remember the movies 2001 and 2010, where the monolith played a huge role in it, and it always had to do with evolutionary leaps. And I'm wondering if this isn't a warning by the Illuminati that we're about to go into another evolutionary leap, and that CV-19 is directly linked to this through their nanobot technology of changing your DNA and making you into a hybrid. It's all coming together, it seems, which the elite would consider the evolutionary leap up the ladder. What do you think about these things?
Well, I was hunting for my notes here. Hold on a second. I made a note this morning on America's Voice. I like Steve Bannon's War Room. He has really good stuff.
Yeah.
And anyway, he made a comment this morning that I wrote down verbatim real quick because I've never heard him talk about this. You know, Steve Bannon talks political and mostly politics, actually. But anyway, he made this strange statement, and he just let it go. He didn't enlarge on it or anything. Well, I'd like your opinion of this. And this is Steve Bannon now at America's Voice News. He says, and I quote, "You are coming to the end of Homo sapien. Something beyond man is developing." Now, that's a bizarre statement for Steve Bannon. What do you think?
Yep, he's talking about this COVID-19, and now they're beginning to do. A lady came on, and I don't know whether she had taken the test, but she was showing a test kit that evidently she was handed. And guess what it says on it? It's a DNA collection. They're testing people, and they're collecting the DNA. The only reason you would want to collect DNA, particularly of Americans, is so that you could develop rapidly a bioweapon that is gene-specific, DNA-specific, white race, black race, brown race, Orientals, whatever you want to call them. You get the DNA, and then you develop a vaccine it's not a vaccine, by the way. It's a gene-altering sequence, which are constantly a deny, but they're all liars. I've never seen so many lies from our government, including Biden. Biden's now lying just about every time his lips are moving. And why the American people are putting up with this stuff, I'll never know. But anyway, that's probably what he was talking about. He's talking about a hybrid race that's no longer Homo sapien, the end of man. That's what he's talking about. And now they're beginning to find out, too, that on a lot of these tests, there are nanobots on those swabs. And something very, very evil is going down. And unfortunately, people are just rolling up their sleeves. They can't wait to get the jab. They're going to wish with all their heart they had never had anything to do with either testing or the jab. But that's going to come down the road a little further before people begin to really figure out. I think the plan is very, very interesting. People are going to start dropping like flies probably 3-4 months down the road. Towards summer. And the excuse will be, see, this is the third wave of COVID, so we've got to get more vaccines into people. And Fauci and the rest of these people are now saying, you know, it really doesn't work all that well, but we got to have more jabs. You're going to have to get maybe 3 or maybe 4, and maybe yearly, or might even be monthly, who knows. And they keep stretching all of this out because they're lying to the American people. There is not going to be any let up. However, the Lord has his own ways of doing things. And their well-laid plans may, in fact, backfire on them. And people are beginning to resist. And I was just reading an article about the mask wearing, you know, evil. Absolute evil it is, and but people nevertheless they're dutifully. I see it all the time. If I'm driving down the road, I'll see some old lady and she's got her mask on, driving in a car down the road, and that mask is virtually harming her. She doesn't realize it. She thinks she's doing what the medical authorities have told her, but it's actually harming her. And now they're CDC and Fauci are saying, oh, you got to wear at least 2, maybe 4. Yeah, let's quadruple it and kill people much faster. I've never seen anything like it. But anyway, I don't know, Larry. Maybe your dream is because the Lord gets tired of the whole thing and Washington and New York are literally taken off the map. And all you got to do is run the ripple effects to find out what that would do. What do you think?
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting. And by the way, I sent you a post today from Mike Adams talking about HAARP and how the weather warfare was being used against they had to go across Oklahoma to get to Texas, but they tried to destroy Texas. And what's interesting, I'm getting reports people that say the snow that fell from this massive polar vortex, that if you tried to microwave it, it sparkles. It's got little pieces of metal or something inside the snow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been going on for some time. Who knows? You know, who knows what they've got in smart dust? You know, people laugh about, oh, there's no such thing in nanobot technology, and chemtrails don't exist, and they certainly wouldn't be putting smart dust in there. Folks, wake up. I mean, there's no law against being stupid at all or being an idiot. But all you have to do is look up into the heavens, and they are not jet contrails. I was a jet pilot for years. I know what a jet contrail looks like. These are chemical sprays, exceedingly dangerous. They have all kinds of things in them. And this nation has had a history of running, I guess one could say, medical experiments on its citizens without their knowledge. It's been going on for a long, long time. The government in Washington, D.C. is not your friend. And now that Biden's in, they're definitely not your friend. And it sounds to me from what you saw, Larry, that they're gone. And if they're gone, that means Obama's gone, probably because he lives right next door to the White House. So it's fascinating whether, you know, I guess we wait and see what happens.
What's interesting, you know, I can't really say this is going to happen, and I'm not prophesying by it or trying to tell the future, but I'll just say this: I had one heck of a dream.
yeah, for sure. This is from Hal Turner. Trump gone less than a month, and war is back on the menu, boys. ISIS returns, and NATO to announce increases in troops into Iraq. Are we trying to force World War III? It seems like we are now. What's your take on all this?
I've been watching this for some time now, and if you'll remember, our deep state, global deep state, et cetera, they tried to actually topple Assad in Syria a long time ago, and it was going to be an energy war. That's what that's always been about,
yep.
The energy war. You know, and you and I have talked about it. Nobody ever echoed us much, but we did. And then suddenly Trump come along, and he kind of put his foot in the door. War stopped over there pretty much, and that was almost over. He'd actually pulled all the troops out. And now suddenly, the very minute he so-called lose the election, the Pentagon begins sending the troops back, and here we go again. But this time there's a caveat, and it appears from what I'm reading that Biden and team they're going back in to topple Assad, take Syria, and they're going to put a gas line in to Europe. And they're also working in Afghanistan to put one through to India, I believe it is. You know, that's the old game that they were playing. Now the only we've got the wild card in the deck called Vladimir Putin, that now suddenly has determined that he is not going to allow them to go after Assad a second time, and actually he's working his Air Force bases there in Syria, and he's setting them up to actually be able to handle the nuclear-capable Russian bombers. So what Putin is doing, he's introducing the nuclear weapon to the field. And so, you know, it looks like if we're going back, and according to, well, not only Sergeant Fall, but Hal Turner and others, that Biden is wanting his big war over there.
Well, he'll probably get it. Because I remember Putin saying, well, you know, if you want a war, just come ahead. I'm not afraid of you. I don't think people realize how far advanced they are in Russia, and especially how far advanced they are in China or probably in Iran. And this is not going to be a fun deal when this thing finally lights off. Folks, remember, if you read Isaiah chapter 17 and then you read Daniel chapter 8, it appears as though we are attempting to force these wars. And, you know, there's prodding going on. We just sailed some ships by the South China Seas to kind of irritate China. China has been repeatedly violating Taiwan's airspace, trying to prompt something there. And now we hear this, and it says intel sources tell Alterna Radio that very shortly NATO chief will announce the expansion of NATO forces in Iraq from 500 to 4,000. And that's quite a number. And, of course, ISIS is back. They never did go away. And Russia, it says, warns of a direct war. So you're dealing with Putin, and Putin is not somebody you want to be dealing with. He is probably the best military strategist on the planet right now, and everybody just kind of poo-poos him and thinks he's stupid. No, he isn't, as they're going to find out the hard way. And I don't think China's stupid either. So here we go. I wanted to get into this a little bit, Larry, because you lived through it. An emergency order from the Biden administration's Department of Energy shows, and I'm going to say conclusively because I've looked at the documents, Texas Energy Grid Operator ERCOT was instructed to stay within green energy standards by purchasing energy from outside the state at a much higher cost, throttling power output through the state ahead of this catastrophic polar vortex. In other words, people are going to go bankrupt. We're beginning to hear now that the power bill went from like $30, and it goes to $300, then it goes to $3,000, and then it goes to $15,000, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to bankrupt everybody. It's no different than the COVID. Why in hell are they getting away with this stuff? This is ridiculous. Anyway, it says this declaration addresses the emergency conditions, creating a need for immediate transportation of persons, supplies, goods, equipment, heating fuels, including propane, natural gas, heating oil, and other fuel products, including gasoline, and provides necessary reliefs. But anyway, they were cut short on their power deliberately. So I don't know, Larry. It's evil. That's all I got to say about it. It's satanic evil out of Washington. Not that they haven't been under the influence of Satan for a long, long time. We know that from prophecy. What do you think, though, about this?
Well, it's clearly evident what happened, if you will. And I had even heard information that word was sent by Biden to Texas. If they want to secede and start this trouble in America, that he can do this again. So it's like holding a sword over a part of the nation. I think in the long run, this is going to backfire. But oddly enough, you know, this is what devils do. If you ever wondered about the devils in Washington, you really don't have to worry much. Just look outside. This is what they do. This is how they do, you know.
Yeah.
And really, we're seeing destruction happen in America 10 times as fast as it happened in Venezuela under the communists. So I would consider, unless there is an event, and I pray that there is, we're pretty well as a nation. We're done. And if nobody comes back, if Trump never reappears or there's no savior, so to speak, it's over pretty much for the American people. They literally, as of today, basically don't have a nation.
Yeah, no, we lost that, and actually it was gone some time ago, but now the icing is put on the cake with Biden and Harris, and it looks like Harris is now running everything pretty much. and Susan Rice, they say, maybe the one behind Susan or Obama. You know, Obama is giving instructions as to how to do this. Here's another one, Biden to force out conservatives from banks, businesses, and jobs, Operation Chokeout. All we have to do is shut down the money for the gun manufacturers, et cetera, et cetera, and they're out of business. So, yeah, it's, I don't know, Larry. I think we're heading into some bad, bad times. I just, with this 44-411 and the first fruits, the resurrection and all. And by the way, tomorrow we have another sign in the heavens with the sun right in the middle of the water bearer, which is Aquarius. And that is highly significant, and a tail of about seven planets. And behind, in a line, pretty much a straight line. It's not a perfectly straight line, but these kind of warnings are coming more and more and more. And I don't think too many people really are paying much attention to any of it. I think they feel, well, we've been here before and absolutely nothing happened and nothing's going to happen again. But there is an Omega point. And with America going down as rapidly as it appears to be going down, and with the UFO sightings all over the world on a huge increase, I think we're very, very close to war. And that's going to change everything. And that exactly may be what you saw, Larry. Maybe there was a war and Washington and New York were taken out. Wouldn't take much to do it.
Well, it wouldn't. And what's interesting, you know, I think I shared this on the, I couldn't remember his name, but Newt Gingrich was his name, Speaker, ex-Speaker of the House.
Yes.
Was on America's Voice the other day, and he was sharing how that he had never seen anything like this ever in history, and the closest to where America is today, he said, was pre-revolution days, just before the revolution. He said, any spark will set this off. He said, what's happened? And he says the left has really went overboard because they don't understand the psyche of the people. He said they think the American people have submitted totally. He said that's not true. He said between the election and COVID and other things, the American people were basically mesmerized and rocked back on their heels and got dizzy and can't get steady in their thinking. He said, but if they ever get steady, even one day. This is Newt Gingrich talking. He said there will be an explosion across this nation, he said, such as has never been seen.
I would think that's true. Even General MacArthur said that. He made a comment about that the American people would even disarm and until they figured out that they'd been had. And he said they're the greatest fighting force the world has ever seen. Something happens to the American psyche, and they all decide, this is it. We're not going to put up with this any longer. But when that happens, there's going to be a bloodbath. And these lefties who mock everything are going to be hanging on lampposts. Stupid people coming out just saying everything is reverse. You're following actually what Isaiah said. Good becomes evil, evil becomes good. Up becomes down becomes up. Black is white is black, and this is where we are. And Biden and his crew there in Washington are, in fact, doing evil. But it's being called good. Meanwhile, they're coming out and saying, well, we got to get rid of these Christians. They're the ones that are causing all this problem. Any last word you got, Larry?
I just wouldn't unbuckle my seatbelt quite yet.
Yeah. I think we're kind of on a roller coaster. And it's going to be confusing. But I do believe that we're going to be looking up one day soon. And we're going to see those UFOs. And they're going to descend, and these people are going to come out, get out. And the world is being prepped for it, and I think they're going to accept them, which is the worst thing they could have ever done. But anyway, thanks for coming on, Larry, and if anything breaks, of course, obviously, we will come back with a special broadcast. I don't know. It's very confusing at the point of time because nobody knows what's really happening down there in Washington. But anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. Take care. If you haven't prepared, do so as best as you can. Good night.